This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
The following podcast is scheduled for one fall, and there will be no disqualifications. Making their way to the ring from lineupmedia.fm at a combined weight of 849 pounds, the Three Horsemen.
Back with part two, the fun part. We're going to talk old school wrestling. Big E and T.O. are here with me.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show.
What's going on, guys?
What's going on, guys?
How are you?
You know, you got to talk into the microphone there, Slim.
Oh, they can hear me.
No, he doesn't. He's fine.
I'm yelling pretty loud.
Anyway, yeah.
Savage.
We're talking the world title today because
in the second half of our show,
so many things. Yeah, well, in the first half we talked about how Flair was tied by Cena.
I mean, deservingly so. And the guy just puts—he
is a legend.
So much so, such a legend that his phone beeps in the middle.
We're dealing with consummate professionals. Well, yeah,
that,
all around.
Wait a minute, that was a being set up on purpose after I said that about John Cena. Like
it was
validation.
You did that on purpose.
Ding.
You're better than I am setting that kind of stuff up.
Something like that.
I think ahead.
So this was posed in the office. We started talking wrestling, and everybody's like, well, no.
Wrestling? You guys grow up, you losers.
There's way too many wrestling experts in this office.
Nobody said that. Yeah, there are. Because everybody used to watch it, at least when it was fun.
Bunch of closets.
And I'm not sucking your dick here. There's only one real wrestling expert in this office. I mean, let's just be honest. I used to think it was me.
Corey knows a little bit.
The kid knows it. The kid knows his shit. The
guy knows a little bit.
Say what you will about him. He's an asshole. He's got horrible hair. He smells bad most of the time.
Boom.
But he knows his wrestling.
Yosted. Nailed
it. Yosted.
They pretty much sign anybody that like applies for a job. Apparently, they take any and all interns.
We're here?
No, at WWE.
Oh.
Maybe get in down there.
I thought you meant here. That's how I got the job. But we were, one of our guys brought up, they're like, now what's the difference? Like, I mean, Dick the Bruiser, I mean, when it was wrestling at the Chase, you know, there weren't a bunch of gays running around. And
we don't need to talk about your history in wrestling.
Goddamn Donald.
Right. You started talking about Cena and Flair and how different shit is now. But, I mean,
put it this way. Just you talk about differences right away. The big one I want to get to that we haven't mentioned, and it just kind of popped in my head. How long it took Flair to get there versus this jerk off.
So Flair was a rookie in 72. Cena was basically a rookie in 02.
Yeah. So there's a 30-year start.
Yeah.
So it took Cena 15 years versus
Flair wrestled till he was.
When did Flair get his 15th? It had to be the late 90s.
Oh, it was.
So it took him 25 years plus.
There's a great place to see where fucking WCW went off the rails, when we were watching. And it's just, it's such a mess. But they don't even count all of Flair's wins. Like, there were phantom changes in other countries. Just
right,
like
just
draw
so the
crowd,
right. Yeah.
You draw a crowd in the next place. But Flair worked, my God. By the time he's Cena's age, Cena's going to be 40 in April. Flair was turned 40 in 89. So Flair had been in the business, essentially, they'll be the same time almost.
Differences? Sure. I think in 89, Flair was at the top of his game.
Yeah.
Cena's not.
I'd agree with that.
It's so weird.
Well, it's because one of them has fucking put so much goddamn growth hormone in his body, his fucking forehead flexes.
Well, I'm gonna say on the flip side, it's a different game, a different product. You can't promote the same type of stars as you could back in the day. You got to wonder what the average age was for your upper tier athlete or your upper tier wrestlers in the 80s and early 90s versus what it is now, I bet you it's 8 to 10 years younger.
At least.
You got all these chest-shaven, oiled-up little 20-year-olds coming out there with their vests on.
Let's call them twinks.
Twinks.
I like
twinks
how that sounds.
Cubs and other such their names. And
yeah. Wearing their wrestling belts.
That's funny.
Get you a $500 wrestling belt and carry it around all night.
I sleep with mine.
What the fuck is that?
Just sex. I don't actually keep it in my bed.
No.
Okay.
God, we used to have those little plastic ones.
I've never owned a wrestling belt, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Have you ever owned an actual replica?
No.
No.
You're not that cool?
No.
Not that cool, buddy. I've never spent, you know,
a couple hundred bones on
a fucking house painting.
On your own strap?
Yeah.
He won't carry a belt, but he's painted his face.
Many times.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with a little, you know, face paint.
Oh, I did it when I was a kid.
Yeah, Thor.
Thor.
Wait, what?
We found some independent wrestler in the back of one of the off wrestling magazines. It was like Island Wrestling or something like that. Yeah. Gio's like, yeah, I'll do that one. What the fuck?
My name started with a T.
It's true.
Didn't, you know?
Tim the Thor.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
But okay, so let's...
Let's get into it. We're
breaking this shit down. Okay, so the NWA belt is the original belt, and they started officially recognizing a champion in 49, but it goes back before that. Hackenschmidt, I mean, Frank Gotch, anybody, George Hackenschmidt, Frank Gotch. Going back, you would have your champion be whoever you wanted to carry the company, and you could send him to every territory and work. And it was at the point that the AWA broke away, Fez was champion. Gagne, the way the story goes.
Let's step back for half a second here.
Lou Fez.
I think you're assuming a level of knowledge on territorial wrestling that maybe some of our listeners don't have. So back in the older days of wrestling, before cable television was super prevalent and you had 10 weekly shows, wrestling wasn't what it is today. There wasn't one big promotion.
You had
tens of promotions, dozens of promotions split out in regions across the United States.
Everywhere.
And every one of them had their own champion or whatever, but they almost all of them belonged to the National Wrestling Alliance. So,
very good.
Carry on. I just wanted to get that out there for those who weren't really in the know of what a territory was.
Yes, and everybody had their own promoter, and you were under the guise of the NWA. They'd meet every year out in Vegas, talk about who they wanted their champ to be, which we'll get to that part. Gagne wanted a match with Fez. Apparently, he didn't want to do it. So, Gagne splits off and creates the American Wrestling Association with Wally Carbo.
Which was based out of?
Minnesota. And 15 years later or so, you break into the WWWF, which is, yeah, be sure to show him. They have Buddy Rogers as their champion to start. He won a big tournament in Rio, or I can't remember where the fake place was. But they turned to Bruno. So these guys all had their world champions. In the Northeast, they went by, like, Bruno was Italian. They had a ton of Italians. I'm not making any assumptions here. I'm going by history.
It was what it was, man.
They had their guys. I mean, and Vern Gagne was the champion in the AWA for, what, 30 years? Because, well, his own champion's not going to leave him and go work somewhere else.
Makes business sense.
He's
really
his guy. That's why Jerry Lawler was the champ in Memphis. That's why Fritz took care of his kids in Texas.
That's why Jeff Jarrett was running the show in TNA when it started.
Jeff Jarrett. Fuck. Oh, yeah. Very similar TNA.
What his old man owned? His dad owned one of the promotions, right? Nashville?
You want to get into this?
No, what territory did he own?
He didn't own any territory in the beginning. Nick Goulas owned Memphis, and then they had the big split in the late 70s when they wanted to put George Goulas over his kid. If you want to see the worst wrestler you've ever seen in your life, type in George Goulas on YouTube. They wanted to make him a big star. They wanted him to be featured.
But who were they wanting to put him over, though? Just anybody?
They wanted him in the main event matches where Jarrett's
running.
I think
he's asking who did they want to put him over?
They put him in matches. They wanted him in matches with Jackie Fargo, and they wanted him in matches with Lawler, and they wanted him in big matches.
So they're big guys that were drawn.
Couldn't fucking wrestle.
But the huge stars down there.
Yeah.
bringing back the Highway Commission kids and their guy's nephew again.
You read stuff online, and you listen to some of the podcasts that talk about older stuff wrestling. They say Jerry Lawler was as good as it fucking gets. I mean, like, just say, like, his work, his psychology.
Incredible.
And said in Memphis, he was, like, fucking the second coming of Elvis.
Nay, he was the king of Memphis. You know what's kind of weird, though? They had two kings in Memphis.
Who's the other one? Jackie Elvis? Fargo.
Elvis?
Oh.
The king?
Oh, that king.
That guy. I don't know if you heard of him.
King George lived there.
Yeah, but he took over for Jackie Fargo in that territory. But that was the Memphis wrestling war. So a couple years later, they had the Georgia wrestling war.
Where would you rank, just going back to Lawler real quick, where would you rank him on the all-time list? Because a lot of people are high on him. I never realized that.
I'm super high on him.
I love Lawler.
Top 10?
Remember when we were going to do that top 50 list? I had him in there. He's definitely top 50.
So many people only know him for the bullshit gimmicky stuff he did in WWF.
Tell me about it.
That's all they know him for.
Puppies.
And then they know him as like the clown announcer. They don't realize that he was a legit badass. And the best reason I can point to that is when I was a kid and he came in and feuded with Bret Hart. I said, oh, well, Bret Hart's going to kill this announcer. I mean, like, because he came from wrestling and doing King's Court and all that. So, like, it
didn't help that he was followed around.
But I didn't know who he was.
That crazy Isaac Yankum for a while.
Ugh.
Kane.
I know, and I guess this is just because I loved wrestling as a kid, but I had videotapes of Memphis stuff that they would sell at Walmart, and it would show these things, and I always loved it because it was this real grainy footage, and the mat was white, but it had, like, blood spots on it because it looked like they never cleaned the fucking thing.
Why would you?
Lance Russell's calling the action.
And some say he's the best announcer of all time.
He is the fucking... Soli, Ross, Russell.
Yep, those three. Those three are the ones that are always talked about.
No, SRR. But dude, Memphis was fucking awesome. If you get to watch anything, and they say it's
And they
cartoon.
Were very stiff, right?
Stiff, but so jokey.
Really?
So hokey. It was the WWF before the WWF.
Sure.
But didn't they have some of the first, like anywhere, falls anywhere matches and wrestled up
empty arena matches, dog food matches, shave your head, shave your wife's head.
There's the classic Andy Kaufman, Jerry Lawler run.
But they did a ton of gimmick shit down there. Yep.
But cool gimmick shit. Not like Judy Bagwell on a forklift.
Oh, God. No more Judy Bagwell.
I always see that on Raw. I never saw it see it on the network. But that's an interesting territory because they worked with the NWA for years and all of a sudden split with the AWA in the 80s. But going back to where we were at, you would have your territory guy that would be the big guy. Like, Lawler would go after the NWA title. So Briscoe would come into town. They'd build Lawler up,
So whoever came through town feuded with the head baby
your
Rick face.
Flairs, had to be
the
star. Your Harley Races, so your Briscoe.
Was the NWA champ always a heel for the most part? Because if you're building your baby face in the hometown that the NWA champ's visiting to, is that how it works usually?
That's always what I wonder.
Because who's going to root against their hometown promotional guy?
Most people didn't. Like,
and that's what I'm saying.
Flair was a face a few times when he was in Mid-Atlantic, but he'd come to St. Louis and wrestle Harley Race, and fucking people want Harley Race to win at the arena.
Of course.
Checkerdome.
Around here.
Teal, whatever.
He probably needed protection whenever he would leave, like, the Chase or whatever.
I don't know, man. That fucker says he went out on the landing every time he was in St. Louis and just partied like a crazy guy.
Yeah, I could believe that, but the most dangerous spot is around all the wrestling people. Like, you're coming out midnight or whatever after the event or whatever the event got over. You've got a couple hundred drunk guys who want nothing more than to beat up Ric Flair. You know what I'm saying?
And let's not forget, people were a little more serious about the product back in the day.
Especially around here. I've talked to, like uncles and people who were way into wrestling back in those days and who would still almost argue it was real.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of shit they were into. They would be like, we'll fight these wrestlers. We don't care.
Fucking insane.
The 1980s man is a different beast than what we deal with these days.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But, people are a little... Wrestlers aren't the same as they used to be.
Fair enough.
You know, it's not like every tough guy... What do tough guys go into now?
MMA, yeah. God, there's nothing worse than the MMA tough guys.
No. I guarantee you, if you met Jack Briscoe in a bar, you're getting your fucking ass kicked.
Dude, he's
you
a
meet
real
Harley
wrestler,
Race?
Though. Yeah, those guys are real wrestlers, though.
True.
I mean, they know how to grapple with you and spin your arm behind your back and then beat the shit out of you before you know what's going on.
You ever hear about Danny Hodge? You ever hear that name?
I think I know the name, but let me...
He used to break pliers with his hands.
How the fuck you do that?
And wasn't like a big... I mean, he got
like squeeze
over
him?
Where he was at. Yeah, he got over in Mid-South, Oklahoma, that territory before it blew up into what it blew up under Watts.
Jesus.
But he was a bad son of a bitch. But and T.O. kind of brought it up. Bad guys and good guys.
Who brought it up?
T.O. He was here.
Oh, that guy that was sitting over there.
But you would have, like, Harley Race, Briscoe, Funk. That pretty much takes care of the 70s. Dusty Rhodes won it. But working all the way up to when Flair became champion in 81, and then he started working. He's really the last guy that went all over the place. He was the last one to go to Florida and go over to Japan and get threatened that they're going to fucking kill him and take the belt.
Well, that's whenever the national promotions other than NWA popped up. And it killed it. It was the end of an era, so to speak.
Kind of, yeah.
But you got what you call indies these days.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not near, in my opinion, the quality nor, I would say, the love of the business, so to speak. Like, you know what I mean? It sounds stupid, but...
You go to... Okay, so in New York, they would run Madison Square Garden once a month,
mm-hmm.
and they'd draw 20,000, and they'd sell it out. Well, down in Atlanta, they'd run the Omni once a week and draw 10,000 every week.
And it was mostly the same people, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's every what they did.
Every week. So same you did 40,000. Yeah. The same in the Mid-Atlantic. They'd go all over the Carolinas and tear it up. Down in Florida when Florida got fucking
And it's just my
crazy.
Point. These days, the indies are lucky to fill up the KFC hall.
Oh.
The KFC.
You can't fill it.
Yeah.
It's a fucking big place. It wouldn't come close to filling that thing. You get 30 to 100 people.
Yeah, they couldn't even so fill sad. Up a KFC. No. The restaurant.
No.
They're saying the best indies get about 200 right now.
Well, I wonder where. Northeast. It's always the
I'm counting Ring of Honor in that.
Ring of Honor's got some wrestlers in it.
Yeah, but still.
But
anybody from Ring of Honor watches this, I'm sorry, but you're still minors.
But everybody had their... You'd work an armory or whatever you'd work, and you'd have a good crowd, and you'd get paid depending on the territory. You'd either get screwed over or... And the other thing, going back to that Gulas thing, they put Gulas out of business in Memphis in like 6 months. And, you know, then they start running Mid-South Coliseum, and the Mid-South Coliseum would sell out, and you didn't make money in Memphis, but still. I mean, if they brought the AWA champion in, Nick Bockwinkle, who had his feud with Lawler, but Bockwinkle... Zabisco. Larry Zbysko, that's real late. Ooh, dying days. But Flair would go wrestle Atlas in Georgia. He'd go wrestle the Von Erichs in Texas. He'd go down to Florida and wrestle... I mean, the Von Erichs would follow him, but he'd go down and wrestle... Fuck, he'd wrestle Mike Graham or whoever he needed to wrestle.
Junkyard Dog.
Mid-South.
You say New Orleans?
Florida.
That's Mid-South.
Oh, I thought you said New Orleans. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't say it clear. But the world champion, and then you go up north, northeast... It's San Martino for the Italians. Morales, I think Puerto Ricans.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm off on that.
New York, Puerto Rican.
They flipped it.
They're Tito Santanas.
They flipped it for that year and had Graham, superstar Billy Graham. But then it went to Backlund, so you got your good guy going. You get it to Sheik, then you get to Hogan, and it's fucking over. But I always thought, I'm like, well, you know, Hogan held it for 4 years. San Martino held it for 8 years. I mean, half of that time, and he sold out the Garden all the time. When it was the 80s and they were going to the Garden, they'd sell it out once a month, but Hogan was going all over the fucking place.
Well, didn't some of the promotions bring in Andre, too, as like a special guest to wrestle their champion?
Like AWA, they'd say, oh, all right, we're going to do our Battle Royals, so we need Andre for this run.
But isn't that what eventually happened to where Vince Sr. would loan out Andre to these other territories?
That's how they did it with
and
that's what they did with everybody.
Promises to get other people in, and they just fucking keep them.
How do you keep Andre?
You keep them for as long as they're hot.
The wrestlers that would come in for the exchange on Andre.
Right, I get what you're saying.
From that promotion.
Guys that were smart got to their hottest and got the fuck out. And then they'd come back, and you still got your heat, or you still got, you know, people still think you're a cool babyface, whatever. But I don't know if you guys have ever watched... God, the WWF was fucking horrible.
was it? I'd have to hit YouTube. They got a lot of stuff on YouTube for
it
that.
It is dreadful.
They probably got it on that WWE Network, don't they?
Yeah.
We need to get them to sponsor us as much as we talk about them.
Should.
I mean, you're huge.
They're in good shape. But so Flair holds it. If you look at the time that he held it from like 81 to 91, I don't think he had the belt, but like you could probably knock out a year out of that, and he held it the entire time.
What's impressive about him holding it as long as he did is there was maybe 2 to 3 swings in the wrestling business in that amount of time.
Yeah.
These days, it's impossible for somebody to hold a title that long because wrestling completely changes in 8 years. You go through 3 or 4 eras, the Attitude Era, the Post-Attitude Era, whatever. Back in the day, it was much more stable product. That's how you could hold somebody, hold a strap that long.
You're right.
Because if you're switching eras so often, your wrestlers, if you're lucky, they might be popular in the next way people look at wrestling. But think about all the rejects from the 90s we have now. It's because that type of wrestling just went away, and those people couldn't keep up with the times.
Yeah. Because you've got the big swing, 85 through 88,
mm-hmm.
and then the big...
Like the look of the wrestlers. Just like,
oh, just the
wrestlers. And the product
boom.
Himself, yeah.
I mean, NWA was flourishing, WWF was flourishing, and then, well, it killed the AWA, killed a lot of other territories, but, you know, NWA bought up the other territories that were out of business for some reason.
Didn't AWA in Texas, isn't that when they kind of got worried and tried doing their answer to WrestleMania?
Ugh.
The Super, what was that called?
The first Super Clash, that was off of Pro Wrestling USA. They were running a TV show where Memphis, World Class, the NWA, the Carolinas, Atlanta, everybody sent their guys and worked one show, and they'd show it. They'd be able to show it in New York. So that whole crew could go work the Meadowlands, and they could go work wherever. They'd film in Memphis, they'd film in New York, wherever, Vegas, doesn't matter. But they did that first Super Clash. First Super Clash is awesome. I mean, it is really good. Flair wrestles Magnum, Road Warriors versus the Freebirds. They had, like, the Russians take on, I want to say the High Flyers, somebody like that.
High Flyers.
Gagne and Brunzel.
I was going to say, it sounds like a Killer Bees type of alternative and throw Brunzel there.
It is. It was pretty good. But, they mixed and matched. But, like, now you see Cena. Okay, so he's won it 16 times. But now world champion. I remember when they went through their period of just putting it on somebody so they could just go former world champion.
Right.
And that was what they did.
They just credential you at that point.
Yeah. You used to have to be somebody that could draw in the WWF, or you had to be somebody that could wrestle.
You know, a really cool stat to see: average time of the hold of each of those 16 times. So, say Flair had an average hold of say 6 months every time he held the belt. How long do you think Cena's is? A month? 2 months? Maybe.
That's a great question.
I wish there was a way we can easily look that up.
What was it? The average what?
The average time they held the strap per time they held it. So 16 times, what was their average time to hold it per time they held it?
I bet Cena's is a close to 6 months.
You think? That's what I was giving Flair.
No way.
Because that means he's held the belt for 8 years solid. If you give it 16 times, 6 months average.
The one thing I can tell you is Flair held it for 3,000-something days. Held the NWA title for 3,000-something days.
And we can totally work that math out. I'm not going to because I'm lazy, but we could.
Right. But to compare that to Cena, it wouldn't even be... Oh,
I bet Cena has less than... I bet he has, in Flair, 16 years versus Cena, 16 years. I'd put the spread at 4 years. I bet over the course of that, Flair has had 4 more years total than him.
I would love to see that. If there's any listeners out there who can somehow nerd it up and get those stats for us, please email us at info@thethreehorsemanshow.com.
I think somebody's actually gone. Oh, combined days, Flair, 3,116.
Over
9 reigns. It doesn't say over years, but it would have been 81 to 93.
So that's 300 days average, roughly.
300. Yep.
So, shit, that's how many, it's what, 10 months?
300 days a year for 10 years.
That's fucking crazy. There's no way Cena comes close.
No. You just didn't take it off Flair. You didn't need to.
Why bother? I mean,
you had a better stable of faces to take on him instead of having a bunch of like the WWF had.
You maybe had half the faces to take on the champion as you had back then, but the product itself was so stable and people can handle to see the same match, so to speak, so many more times.
Yeah, because in the South, they wanted to see the heel get the shit beat out of him and somebody take the belt off.
Week in, week out.
Yep. Up North, they wanted to see Hogan and then that spread across.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why they would have Hogan wrestled David Schultz, Kamala, Hercules, Brutus Beefcake,
quality.
Greg Valentine, ooh, Big quality. John Studd, King Kong Bundy, Paul Orndorff. It's nothing but heels. And those are the guys they'd wrestle. I think their buffer used to be like, was it Jake Roberts? I'd have to look. But their buffer, it would be you get through this guy, you get to Hogan. And that was kind of how they ran the feuds. And I'd say they made some money. I'd say those guys made some serious fucking money.
Back then, everything was for money. Do you believe that right now?
It's always been
money. But do you think they
don't want to get anybody else over?
Do you think they book about money? CM Punk scared the fuck out of them is what happened. Him leaving after
Lesnar.
He built up both of them. I mean, it's the nightmare scenario. Although Punk will never come back.
To be fair, any business who spends time and money developing a resource
with a network now, you can't get rid of that shit.
It's not just
permanent.
Wrestling, though. Say the bank spends 10 years building up
a manager
or Conor McGregor. Anybody spends money, it's a bummer when it happens.
But the thing is, WWE has these fuckers locked down to a contract that you know, UFC doesn't. Or these guys think they have more leveraging control.
You think that's what used to happen with territories, though.
Yes.
You had fucking leverage.
There's
you
no
could
leverage
go somewhere
anymore.
Else.
When is the last time you think someone went into Vince McMahon's office and said, hey, I feel like I'm getting fucked over right now? Well, you're getting your merch cut. You know, you signed your contract. They have nothing
to
do.
I'll go to TNA and make more fucking money. You'd be like,
why do you think it's so stagnant? Wouldn't you want that job? Just make money and not do anything?
I would love that job.
Depends if you're passionate about it.
You're right.
It depends what you want out of that job.
Cody Rhodes.
That's why I think you have so many little butt fucks in that company that just don't take chances.
That's a technical term.
That don't go out and try to blow their career up. They're just content on working for the biggest company because they're getting paid all right. Which, again, no shots of those people. I mean, there's a lot of people that everywhere you work, someone deals with people like that. But, you know, the one thing I will say is, like, people want to bitch at Cena. Cena's obviously been a pushy motherfucker that came up with gimmicks, pushed him. But you have to get at a certain level to where you feel comfortable to do that.
Yeah.
To where you realize, all right, these guys need me. And I don't think the WWE books anyone enough
to get
to that point.
You're right.
It's all right. We're going to kick your fucking legs out from under you now and have you do a piss shit match.
A piss shit match. I'd watch that.
Yeah. All right, so whoever gets shit and pissed on first, we have a fucking double draw.
Oh, I thought it was just that way the whole time. Like, it's like the old mud matches. I'm making that up, but, you know, when they'd fight in mud, they'd fill the ring up with mud first.
Oh, yeah.
This time they fill it up with piss and shit first, and then
those
you get it on.
Big ones, I remember
those. Were huge. I mean, they'd put a pig in there for the referee, put him in stripes. Seen it all.
No, but Tim brings up a good point, is that you had somewhere else to go. And now, I mean, it went from 1,000 local territories to 2 to 1. And you don't have anything you can do. You're fucked.
And guess what? Europe, they're coming for you now.
Yeah, I don't like
they
that.
They just went over there and just fucked all these independent companies.
So they went over to Europe, and I guess they're still in the regional area era over there.
Territorial, big time.
Because they got 19,000 countries in that weird continent.
But they're having like a wrestling boom in some parts.
Are they?
Like where their house shows
It's always been big in like Germany and whatnot. But
yeah. This is actually in like England, I think, is where a lot of these
It's always been big
from.
In England too, though.
And WWE just started this UK championship and signed all these guys. And it's like, oh, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do
that. UFC tried something similar too.
A week after that, these guys tried wrestling on like the pay-per-view and iStreams. Nope, can't wrestle.
Blackballed, eh?
Like a fine print. No, not because the companies didn't want to. WWF said,
not competed them, huh?
Yep.
Oh, man.
They're hurting said, Evolve. They're hurting
said, you can
New
wrestle.
Japan.
You can wrestle at the show, but it cannot be on pay-per-view or any of your recording. We own all the
You're relegated damage. To dark matches for the rest of your non-WWE
Pretty
career.
Much.
But that's the problem because all these guys have boners to work with WWE. And, you know, these guys start these
promotions. It's got to be your goal, though, sadly.
I get them each Triple H, but it's going to kill their business because
I get to wrestle in the same ring that Hulk Hogan wrestled in that made Hulk Hogan made famous. I mean, that's got to be the goal for a young guy, right? You get my point. It's the WWE ring. Because as an up-and-comer, that would have to be your goal. Yeah. But once you get there, you find that it's not the land of milk and honey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're, it's not the
not
Emerald
to
City.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Some people, that's the shit. That's what they want.
And for a few people, like Cena, for instance, I guess it's been his wildest dream come true.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh.
Especially as a non, like, second-generation, third-generation wrestler to come in and to do that well. On the one hand, you got to give him congratulations. On the other hand, I don't like him.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-mm-mm. When you're calling the shots,
say something.
What do you think his legacy is going to be?
Oh, whatever it is in somebody else's eyes.
We got a lot of time until his legacy becomes a thought because he's not going away.
I don't know, man. I tell you what, Saturday Night Live didn't help him, but if he's going to be seen as the same. Same as Ric Flair. I mean, those guys can butter the WWE up all they want and say, oh, this guy's the best. Fucking anybody that knows their shit. And people, they're Ric Flair detractors. They're detractors of anybody. But they're saying he wrestled the same match every night. Well, fuck, he also wrestled 7 nights a week.
And held the strap for 10 months of your dickhead.
That's true. Yeah. I mean... best wrestler, I think, ever. He'd be my number one. But talking about and how... so we got through the 80s. The championship changed a bit in the 90s when it was WCW, WWF. And then it became Hogan hit the end of his run, flips to WCW. Well, then they go with babyface fighting the big guys.
Mm-hmm.
WWF goes with Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. So they turned it into, all right, now we got wrestlers. You guys got it the other way. Then WCW hits a home run all of a sudden.
Right.
And WWF is left chasing them. And they end up with Austin. Now, yeah, exactly. And The Rock at the same fucking time.
Dang.
Must have been rough. But I still see those guys as, I mean, they were selling out everywhere,
mm-hmm.
every night.
And the merch they sold makes the merch sold, even Hogan's merch, it makes it look small.
That's fucked up.
Isn't it?
Now, if you heard about the contracts for the original wrestling figures, you would say, well, I don't know about that. Because they were making $120,000 on their first checks.
Were they?
When they got, oh.
But still.
It's actually pretty funny.
Well, good for them.
They fucked those checks up. Yeah,
what percent did they get?
It must have been a lot.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, those guys though, they have a whole different understanding of money. I was watching a shoot interview with Kevin Nash today, and he was talking about those guys who would get hurt and they'd take like $200,000 as their severance or whatever.
I was
like,
Lloyd's,
you get
of London.
Nothing for for quitting, and you get like $200,000. I'm thinking, motherfucker, you just quit wrestling and got $200,000.
That's what hurt WCW so bad.
Those guys were all locked in on the Lloyd's of London, or where they'd have to be paid in the top
three. Well, that's the Rick Rude story, right?
There's more than him.
There's Rude, Hall, Nash, Hogan.
Animal.
I mean, weird guys that you wouldn't even think. But Animal gets a sweet contract where he's getting paid top five wrestlers in the company. Or top 5% or something. So anytime some big star would come in and get a raise or get a contract, like when Goldberg went back to the table, Goldberg got his $1.4 million.
You said Animal, you meant Hall or Nash, right?
No, I thought one of the Road Warriors actually had the Lloyd's of London.
They did, but you're talking about the
increasers or elevators, escalator.
Fuck.
Escalators in their contracts.
Favored Nations.
Favored
thing.
Nations.
Sorry.
Very good. So explain him the Favored Nation. I mean,
explain to him, being me.
Hall and Nash went to WCW and got Favored Nations in their contracts.
So no matter what happens.
No matter who came in and made money, they got that money too.
Now, how did they work that out? They weren't...
good lawyers.
I guess so, because, yeah, they were high level, but neither... I guess Diesel had held the strap a few times. Razor Ramon had done
great. He was just nice, yeah.
With the Intercontinental title and his runs with Shawn Michaels. But they weren't, in my opinion, near the names you would think would have to have to get that kind of contract. Bret Hart should have got it whenever he came over. I get that. Hogan very few others should have got
that. They
got
Bret Hart's money when Bret Hart came over, though.
They didn't know the NW angle was going to work. They had no clue that these guys were going to be as good.
That makes me think they had that plan, though. I think the NWO angle.
Of course it was planned.
I think it was planned in advance once they signed Hall and Nash. Like when they did that, like, all right, this is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to shoot it.
Oh, I bet so, too.
I don't think that they knew what they had. You know, because they ripped off the gimmick from Japan, right?
Do you think WCW had a get-out-of-jail-free card on that? Like, okay, say you've got this 5% clause or whatever, no matter what, you get this money. Say this angle we brought you in for, the NW angle, fails.
No. I think that money was locked.
Okay, if that money fails,
that's what you hear about WCW a lot, that they were so stupid with big, you know, Uncle Ted's money or whatever.
If the company failed, there would have been nobody else coming in to make money. I mean, the reason
you gotta understand that company had not made a fucking dollar in about 8 years.
Yeah.
And then they come in and they're turning $300 million or $30 million. I can't
shit
remember.
Ton.
A lot of
I believe $300 million.
That's a lot of money.
I'd believe $300 million.
Yeah. I mean, they were killing it.
I'd love to know what they were getting paid on their TV deals back when their ratings were in the sixes and sevens. I wonder what the deals were for that.
To keep it on topic, too, you remember right in that same time period they were scalping all the talent, how important is a championship? What does the name Alundra Blaze make you think of? Medusa Miceli and her title.
Her dropping it in the trash.
Isn't that a weird move to make? It kills half of your career, potentially forever.
Yeah, but
the
way they phased her out of WWF is why she did it.
I mean, that's fair and all, but everybody's gotten that treatment.
Let me ask you this. Would you have ever thought you would have needed to go back to that company the way WCW was going?
No, that's fair. They were on fire.
And the way WWE was going.
Yeah.
I mean, at that same time.
But WCW had kind of jumped them.
Yeah.
And was kicking the shit out of them.
They ran the ratings for a year straight.
That was a little early. She probably wasn't thinking. It really was pretty fucking stupid, but.
If there's no Stone Cold Steve Austin, what happens? Is there a Rock? Is there a Mankind? Does the whole Attitude Era start?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
I really don't know.
Dude, he was the one that made shit edgy. He was the one that got everybody back watching them. The Rock wasn't there yet. Mankind wasn't there yet. I mean, as dumb as it sounds, I feel like Austin does not get enough credit for what he brought.
They weren't as over, is what you mean. They weren't as over.
No, but
Vince McMahon got... Yeah. Much as I'm not like, I mean, that's the best villain of all time.
Vinnie Mac, corporate Vinnie Mac.
I mean, are you kidding me?
But who plays that foil if Austin's not there?
I don't know.
I mean, that's my point. Like, I don't know.
You mean, who plays the badass?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Pillman?
He's dead.
So, was he dead by then?
Even then.
But, well, Austin broke his neck in August. Pillman dies in October.
I'm saying, but the buildup, you know, a lot of Steve Austin's badass gimmick was his feud with Pillman.
I mean,
with
that's gun. You will never, yeah, whenever he broke into his house or whatever, and Pillman pulled the gun.
There's going to be an Attitude Era talk here eventually. I mean,
we're getting way off topic here, aren't we?
Well, I mean, we're talking
I don't mind
about,
that,
I mean, Austin and Rock were the champions, but go look over at WCW. And it's fucking Hogan the whole time through that whole big run. Luger took it off him for a week.
A lot of people forget
we'll be
about
talking,
that, too.
We'll be talking about this a fair amount on our next topic next week about we're going to – you want to say what we're going to talk about next week?
Next week we're going to go through breaking kayfabe and breaking character.
And you'll see that a lot near the end of WCW with the shit that went down there.
Ugh.
Arquette holding the belt.
Dreadful.
Well, Russo and his whole – you know, the way he ran things.
It's all his goddamn fault.
That guy's a douchebag.
Yeah. We'll get into that next week. It ought to be a really good show, too.
If you've ever listened to him talk.
I'd like to talk to him seriously, and I'd just be like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, just
on the one hand, yeah. But on the other hand, the dude was a genius for a while. You got to give him some credit.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of that's bullshit.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of people say that.
You take 30 ideas and pick 5, you're not a genius.
Or it was more like, have 30 ideas and try them, and only 5 work.
Yeah. Man, you go through that Attitude here, and there's a lot of shit.
They did a lot of cheesy Jerry Springer shit. Like he watched Jerry Springer and said, oh, let's see how
they
work.
Think right of pre-Attitude Era, though. There's some real cheesy shit there, too.
Yeah, but you can also go back to the 80s, and they ran, you know, like AWA ran one angle the whole year. WWF ran, they started running more angle-type stuff. Same with the NWA, but they didn't have to You know.
Again, that goes from the amount of exposure they have. If you don't have a weekly TV deal, what's the good of having that many angles? You don't have the exposure to get your fans to follow that angle. You got to run that angle the once-a-month show you can get people to come to. Or if you're on TV once a month, you get as much of it in as you can and play it again the next time you get on TV.
Yeah, but you really only had to run one angle with your world champion and then the guy who's coming next or the Intercontinental champion.
That you're building.
Yeah. That's all you had to do. And that's why those guys were so big and so important.
And then you had, but you, tag team wrestling was more important.
Tag team wrestling.
I mean, like,
awesome
that was a bigger draw.
Very true.
You know, so that's why you're able to do that because your storylines for the championship, the tag team championship, was huge.
Yes, but who's the name at the top of the bill?
Oh, always world champ.
The world champ, without a doubt.
I mean, that's
why. I'm not disputing that.
Cruiserweight.
No. No, Ray Ray.
No Ray Ray. All right.
No.
No Takamichi Noku.
It was Flair. It was Race. It was Hogan. It was Rhodes. It was, for a while, Sting. I mean, it's Austin. Those guys sold the tickets, and that's why.
Your TV title holders.
You think Sting was a draw?
I think
give
Sting
him
was
the right guy, and well, they ran a year and a half angle where he didn't fucking wrestle.
All he did was come in and not talk, and he still.
You think
every
people
week,
came to see that though? That's what I'm asking.
I watched every week for that last minutes after it's 10 o'clock. That's when wrestling got good. It's going off the air. You got this 3 or 4 to 5, 6, 7 minutes of overage when wrestling was really good. That was whenever I watched. Well, I watched the whole thing, but it, you got to admit it was best right when it was getting over. Every week. Here comes Sting out of the rafters every week, or the lights go out, or whatever big deal, it was always in the overage.
Yeah, well, see, I say he was a draw in 90 when he won it originally. They just didn't have any fucking heels for him to wrestle. They had nobody.
You remember when they tried to manufacture a heel out of Ric Flair and turning, what was the name of that character?
Black Scorpion.
The Black Scorpion. That's how hard up they were.
Wasn't supposed to be him.
Yeah, who was it supposed to be?
Al Perez.
Yes.
Even still, to manufacture a guy like that. And then,
I don't hate that. I didn't hate that. You know where that finished up at?
Where did that finish up at?
Over at the Kiel Auditorium.
Did it?
Yeah, Starrcade '90. I was supposed to go to that. Didn't get to.
I bet you cried. Just saying, you were 8.
No, not that bad. no, but looking now at Cena, who does he draw? He draws people to an arena.
Kids.
Really?
Kids with parents that have money to buy tickets.
I mean, kids have their shit.
We talked about it in the first part of this show, how I was going to send a message to my nephew. I got a reply back. And let me read it here.
It's about Roman Reigns.
It's about Roman Reigns. I sent him the message. Hey, are you into Roman Reigns at all? Is he good or cool? And he's 13, just turned 13. So this is the exact age group we're talking, maybe even younger we're talking. But he says, yeah, he's pretty good and popular on top of that. So completely different than what you guys were thinking.
See?
Your fingers are so far off the pulse, they might as well be up your nose.
Yeah, but we're old.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
Super old. And we don't watch. But when I watch, I know that people don't seem to like him a whole hell of a lot.
Well, especially whenever they got these reaction videos like we're seeing.
That's awesome. That's one of the best things. That's great.
The icing on the cake is that he won that, by the way. Just bringing him in was so insulting, and then to have him win.
Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't win.
He couldn't get over with a trampoline, it seems like.
It doesn't seem like it.
With a ladder.
But you,
another euphemism. But
I mean, for somebody to go down as one of the greatest of all time, you're going to compare Flair and Cena. Flair drew. Austin drew. Hogan drew. I mean, Rock drew. I don't see Cena as being a draw.
I mean,
business
again,
has only continually gone downward since the fucking guy became a champion.
Is that his fault, or is it the nature of the business at this point in time?
If you love somebody
especially
enough, you'll go see them whenever the fuck they come.
But I think with the ascension of UFC, that has and Vinnie Mac to this day will tell you that they're not competing, but they totally are for fans, for views, for money spent on a pay-per-view, for merchandise. It's definitely competition. And when you've got all these 18 to 35-year-olds or even younger moving in droves over to the MMA stuff, it's going to happen. And like you said before, anytime you got a tough guy these days, they don't go and become a wrestler. They become an MMA guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what kids these – well, not kids, so to speak. Early adult, young adults, men, little pussy guys that want to go be tough, that's what they go do. It used to be you'd be a wrestler. It's not that anymore.
Literally. That's what it was. But it was guys in bars beating the fuck out of people that got into wrestling.
Yeah, that's great. That's what wrestling should be.
Yeah, and those guys that used to wrestle back then would win the fights in the bar.
And if they didn't, they got fired.
Yeah.
Then they go drink their Miller Lights and fly on their airplanes or whatever they did.
What do you... That's
the other thing.
What do you think if you took every wrestler in WWE in a bar one by one right now?
The bar Royal Rumble?
No, nope, just saying? One at a time, and you had them fight one guy at the bar. So you've got 80 guys in a bar. And it's a rougher bar. You bring in 80 wrestlers. How many of them win their fight?
Against just standard bar people?
Against a guy that's their size, like a pipe fitter.
Do tough people hang out at bars anymore?
No, nope. But a lot of your laborers do that are strong as fuck. And I mean, like, that will stab you with a fork.
There are definitely some guys.
Depends on the bar.
In WWE that would not get in fights anymore. They're too busy, playing video games. I don't know what the fuck they do now.
Yeah, they don't really go out anymore. It's weird.
Well, you can't go out and do what they used to do. There's too much spotlight on you. Again, it's national these days. Everybody knows every wrestler. You can't just go down to the bar down the street and have any kind of anonymity and get fucked up and have fun and have groupies and do all that shit because it's going to be out on WrestleZone or wherever the next day.
It's funny that people say, like, yeah, we were out at this bar one night in St. Louis. Here comes Harley Race, and he sits down
and
flares over at,
X-Bar.
Bar Louie. Yeah.
Right.
Bar Louie, and you're like, yeah, sure they were. But you know what? They probably fuck more.
I'm sure they were.
We saw Orton out a few times when we were going out.
He's from St. Louis, to be fair, though.
Yeah.
He's also a prick.
I mean, that's totally relevant.
Totally. No, there's another world champion. God, how many times he held it?
I saw the Mantar. 10?
Too many.
I saw the Mantar out at the bar one time. I don't know if you guys did. Okay. I saw the Portuguese Man of War, Aldo Montoya.
Doink.
Al Snow?
Just incredible.
Damn, that's right.
Yep.
What was Al Snow's other gimmick?
Oh, God, what was it? I remember carrying around the head forever.
Laffis or... No.
You're thinking of Hugh Morris. That was...
No, I'm not.
Snow wore a mask, and...
He was a Third Rock or Lafferty or...
Oh, he was Leif Cassidy.
Leif Cassidy.
Leif Cassidy, yeah. Cassidy.
Combination of Leif Garrett and David Cassidy. What the hell was his other gimmick in the early 90s? It was dreadful.
I don't remember what the other one was.
Sarvin? Is that it?
No.
No. Sarvin Azel, Selfish Crimson.
I've got a great tape from like 83.
That's his real name, Alan Ray Sarvin.
That's got him as a jobber working for ICW, which was a an outlaw promotion down in Tennessee, Kentucky.
What's an outlaw promotion mean?
All right. In a town that's not, they have a recognized promotion, but you run towns around that area, but you're not a recognized promotion. So basically, you're running against,
Steve Moore?
No. Technically. You're running against that territory's
competing
main show.
Basically. Shinobi.
Fuck, man, that's how Randy Savage started. Wouldn't have liked to have to fuck with him.
Shinobi?
Yeah, apparently Al Snow wrestled as Shinobi, a ninja-style character.
Yeah, that's it. Ah, brutal. But, so, I mean, in game, I don't see Cena in Flair's league, but.
Time will tell. He's still got, he's still got 15 years to become even as stately, so to speak, as Flair.
Oh, I think he's done in 3 years tops.
Probably so.
Think about that. Flair wrestled 20 more years.
Yep.
Fuck.
Good thing is Flair has a lot more money than Cena does.
Is Flair still considered active by any means? Not like super active,
he's
but
paid.
Could he go and wrestle if he had to tomorrow?
Yeah, if he wanted to die.
No bumps at all for him anymore?
I'm sure not. I mean, he'd take him if someone let him.
Yep.
I mean, WWE would have said, hey, you want to be the 30th man in the Royal Rumble, and we're gonna put you in the main event.
He would have did it, of course.
Would have fucking done it and not thought twice about it.
And got in shape.
To be fair, had he called me and said, you want to be the 30th man in the Rumble, I'd have did it. Anybody would be the 30th man.
I'm really nervous about this 30 for 30 coming out with Flair. I think it's just going to make him
When's that coming
bad.
Out?
Soon.
XFL's Thursday.
Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
We should do, once that comes out, we should do an all Ric Flair second half one of these days. I don't see why not.
All
right. Cover the career. Damn. Life and times of Richard Flair.
Won his last world title at age 51.
It's amazing.
Fuck you, George.
10
Foreman.
More years of Cena. Imagine that.
Oh, God.
That dude's out.
See, Cena is the perfect reason. If I could give like a name to describe why I stopped watching wrestling 10-ish years ago,
mm-hmm.
is because of the rise of people like John Cena and ruthless aggression.
Oh.
fucking out of here.
I like it, pal.
I'm out of here is what happened. Ruthless fuck you.
Toothless aggression.
Yeah, toothless. Who was it they would say that about?
Chris Benoit.
Benoit, that's right.
Good. Who is he? I just started watching the product 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, on the network.
He does not exist.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Before him, people used to go to wrestling.
Yeah.
And it used to be popular, and then he fucked it all up.
Yeah, well, you'll have that.
But that's our show for today. We covered world titles.
I loved it. This second half was great.
Yeah, we actually talked.
Good old time. T.O. stayed most of the time, which was awesome. Thanks, T.O.
Sorry.
He is the third horseman.
Woo!
So we got that going for us.
D.
Throw it up, man.
That is, that's terrible.
Come on. And then we touch penises.
No, I thought it was the fuck you with our dicks.
Oh,
what?
The fuck you.
That's
and then
the
our
worst idea I've ever heard.
We put our penises together. No?
Worst idea I've ever heard.
You take your foreskin. Never mind.
I'll tell you
we'll
what.
Stop there.
I'm done with this show.
This segment's brought to
I
you.
I thought
by
there was
going to
be a bigger payoff from
nobody.
Those three horsemen.
What a weird end. Okay. Thanks for watching. We'll probably never
Brokeback
watch
Mountain
again.
Last
thanks for listening.
About
thanks for watching. Thanks
show,
for
here.
Listening, doing all that. Next week we'll be back. We're going to cover. Yeah, we're going to do basically a breaking kayfabe.
And might have a special guest.
Remember to like, subscribe, follow all of our YouTube, Twitters, and Facebooks, and everything. You're talking Facebook.com/3horsemanshow, Twitter.com/3horsemanshow. Search for us on YouTube. We don't have our complete URL. It will end up being YouTube.com/3horsemanshow, but we need your subscribes to be able to get that URL. So please get on YouTube and subscribe.
Yeah, and if you're watching on YouTube, I'm not a Seahawks fan.
We've had four people the entire show watching, which is four times more than we've ever had. So, thank you for watching. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, roughly, hopefully. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Boom.
Later.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci. Excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.